Welcome to She Reads. This is She, Alma Limon. Always grateful to you for tuning in. Today's episode will be about a book that I am pretty sure you have heard of called Normal People by Sally Rooney. I was hesitant to read this book because I thought this is a typical story of a toxic relationship, and I've had enough of those already in literature and in real life. Anyway, I really thought that was what the book was about, the development of a flawed relationship. So I was like, is that really something new? Like, every relationship is complicated and flawed, at least the ones worth writing about. But, oh man, Normal People, it's so much more than the development of an not perfect relationship. And I'm going to tell you why I think so. First of all, I feel like I have to say that I haven't seen the series. I am actually really curious to see how that worked out, because half of the charm of the book, or I feel like any book in general, but especially this one, is to be able to know what the characters are thinking, and that is how they become real to me and also likable, not gonna lie, because Sally Rooney really makes you able to align what they are thinking to what they are doing. And yeah, I think this part is so important to the book, to the extent that there are not even speech marks in the book, and I think that is why the narrative just flows beautifully. But okay, so let's just start from the beginning. Normal People is a novel about Connell and Marianne and who they are when they are together versus who they are when they are not. It is a love story, but it is also a story about all those parts of our relationship that are not so loving, and most importantly, about those parts that are not at all existing, like the long pauses in between a relationship, that I think it's so important, and I will definitely talk more about that later on the episode. So the story starts when Connell and Marianne are in the last year of high school, I think. Yeah. And it follows their journey to college. So I think in a sense the story begins in an ending and the end of an era for them. And, you know, not only an ending, but just a crucial point in almost everyone's life. That moment when you're done with school and we're forced to leave behind the person who we were to become who we are supposed to be, or to unbecome everything we never were, or sometimes both. For instance, when Connor gets to college, he feels like he's brand new, like he has to start to talk to people and present himself, make impressions, which were never necessary in his hometown because everybody already knew who he was. And I think this happens to most of us if we leave our hometown where we are already who we are, and we don't need to present ourselves there to anyone. And Sally Rooney explained this very well, and I'm going to read this where she writes, "His personality seemed like something external to himself, managed by the opinions of others, rather than anything he individually did or produced." So college for him, and for some of us, is that time to produce our own personality. And this is kind of Connell's baggage throughout the whole novel, the fact that he doesn't really know who he is, and he feels basically a social construct himself. And under that name, he treats Marianne, especially at the beginning of the book, in a way that I personally would not want to be treated. But on the other hand, Marianne seems to belong right away in college, and which I really loved because she didn't feel this way in high school. Actually, in high school, it was like the other way around. Marianne was like the weird girl that no one really wanted to talk to or stay near. And Connell was, you know, the popular guy who was also good at sports, who was also very smart. So I really like when Connell meets Marianne in college, and, you know, just to kind of see her as this person that seems to belong perfectly where she is. Because, and I'm going to read this passage of the book that I really enjoyed because I just resonated with it a lot. And it says, Marianne wonders what it would be like to belong here, to walk down the street greeting people and smiling, to feel that life was happening here in this place and not somewhere else far away. I mean, I can relate to her in so many ways. I'm sure a lot of people too, but one of the ways that I resonate with her is that of not belonging where you come from and holding on to the hope that you do belong somewhere else. And when you finally get to go somewhere else and find that and feel like the life you're living is the one you're supposed to be living, is the best feeling in the world. But more on that later. So now let's talk about Connell for a second and discuss all the problems that I have with him. Take a seat. Just kidding. It's not that I don't like Connell, but I don't like Connell. Like, I don't like some aspects in his personality. For instance, and this is honestly, it's not that I don't like Connell, I just don't like this attribute in people in general. So, okay, whatever. I'm just gonna say it. So, for me, Connell represents the misconception that we have about how much people care about what we do. Truth is, they don't. No one goes to bed thinking who you're going to bed with. I truly, truly believe that. And he just spends the entire novel putting a filter of what people would think of to every decision that should only matter to him. And it just bothers me. I mean, I do it sometimes, I guess. And it bothers me when I do it. So, I don't know. I guess just Connell is always trying to do what is normal. Like, he's just striving for normalcy to the point that it messes him up. But there is a line that I loved where he's looking at Marianne and just, you know, enjoying the view, I guess. And he thinks, he's not sure what friends are allowed to enjoy about each other. I think this just speaks about how much of the constraints that didn't allow him to be with her in the way that she wanted to be with him were just in his mind. You know, the whole time they were in high school, he was kind of trying to hide their relationship because he was freaking out about what people would say about him. And then by the end, like, I don't know, I think a friend of his just goes like, dude, like, we all know what's going on and we don't care, because again, truly no one cares. But I guess that is the whole point of the story, how bad he strives for normalcy, or what their friends and the people that he wants to be accepted by call normalcy. And yet he falls in love with a girl who is not interested in normalcy, and she seems unaffected by not being popular in the beginning, and she does nothing to be, or at least it seems that way. And obviously there is some point at the almost the end of the book where she's like, why can't I be normal? Like, why is this happening to me? But you will have to read the book to see that. So wait, I have to say that I don't hate Connell. I'm being mean. I don't really hate him, but this is another thing I have to give credit to the writer for, her ability to let us know what both of the characters are thinking, sometimes even like at the same time. Like, I don't know how she does that, because if it wasn't for this, I think we wouldn't like any of them. Like, we wouldn't like Connell, we wouldn't like Marianne, because they do really like just not crazy things, but it's kind of like, it's hard to understand where their intentions are coming from if you don't know what's in their minds, which, I mean, duh, right? I wish I could read some people like a book, but we can't. So, okay, so one important thing I feel like needs to be mentioned, even when I'm not going to dive into that because I don't feel extremely comfortable talking about it, but that is the socioeconomic background difference between Marianne and Connell. And here I have to say that I forgot to mention, that I should have said, is that they meet because they go to school together, but because Connell's mother cleans Marianne's house. So I don't want to get too Marxist about anything or start a debate on capitalism, because I don't think that that is what the book is asking for. But there is a part where Connell thinks about money and what money means. And I thought it was very interesting and just like very smooth. And I don't want to editorialize that statement. So I'm just going to read it and let you make up your own conclusions. So this is after both Marian and Connell win a scholarship, and it's just kind of interesting to see how the same scholarship means different things to both of them. So I'll start reading. Where is it? Okay. For him, the scholarship is a gigantic material fact. Like a vast cruise ship that has sailed into view out of nowhere, and suddenly he can do a postgraduate program for free if he wants to, and live in Dublin for free, and never think about rent again until he finishes college. Suddenly, he can spend an afternoon in Vienna looking at Vermeer's The Art of Painting, and it's hot outside, and if he wants, he can buy himself a cheap cold glass of beer afterwards. It's like something he assumed was just a painting backdrop all his life has revealed itself to be real. Foreign cities are real, and famous artworks, and underground railway systems, and remnants of the Berlin Wall. That's money, the substance that makes the world real. There's something so corrupt and sexy about it. So now it's time to get personal. Woo! Okay, so that was so lame. I don't know why I did that. But okay, the reason, now is when I tell you the reason why I truly loved the story and what it did for me and what I really think about the whole thing. Okay, so the reason why I truly loved the story. So the reason why I really loved the story was because it helped me to make peace with the fact that the way I have experienced love in the romantic sense of the word is valid and real, and I shouldn't feel guilty or stupid for feeling it. And let me explain. And this is why I need to get a little personal to explain what I mean. So for 4 years, I was in love with this person, this guy, but I couldn't bring myself to even say that out loud because A, we were never boyfriend and girlfriend, and B, our story was kind of paused by our own lives. We lived in different places, but even when we would fall apart for years, we would come together years later and kind of get back to the same dynamic that we always had. So it wasn't a linear relationship that started in point A and ended in point B and lasted for like a solid relationship that lasted for 4 years, like, you know, like uninterrupted. Our love was more in the in between, in the stories, in the short stories of our lives. So I would find myself struggling to try to define what that was and feel, again, guilty and stupid to call it love, because it was never a relationship and it never was really the end goal. Like, it was never something any of us were trying to get at some point. And I think that same thing with Cole and Marianne, like the end goal was not for them being in a relationship. It was just for them to be themselves and to be with each other. But at the same time, you know, so I was saying that I really feel like super stupid saying like, oh, like I have been in a relationship for 4 years when it wasn't a relationship. But at the same time, saying I haven't been in a serious relationship in the past 5 years feels not true. So I haven't been in a labeled relationship. I haven't been a girlfriend, like, but, and I know a lot of people that resonate with this, and it's kind of normal now. I think that now we can call that normal, when probably in our parents' generation, this was allegedly unthinkable. Again, that's debatable. I highly doubt that, but okay. So yeah, I think it is normal now to have someone who shares all this history with you and has done all these things with you, but you never end up together, never arrived at that final destination relationship land, so it doesn't count. So I like that part of the story, that they are actually never together, like that they never labeled themselves as boyfriend and girlfriend. And it's not the end of the narrative. It's not what you expect as a reader. At least that wasn't what I was expecting. And so thank you, Sally Rooney. You made me feel so much better about my never was relationship. But back to the novel. I have always believed that we become who we are based on our interactions with other people. And this novel explains that beautifully. I shared on my Instagram passages of the book that explains this, and I will read one here. It says, "At times, he has the sensation that he and Marianne are like figure skaters, improvising their discussions so adeptly and in such perfect synchronization that it surprises them both. She tosses herself gracefully into the air, and each time, without knowing how he's going to do it, he catches her." So, I guess the real question here is, are we ever an individual unit? What do you think? I asked on my Instagram if... I didn't ask that question precisely, but I said... I asked something like, if you felt like you were a different person depending on who you were with. And most people said yes, but a lot of people said no. I personally do feel like there are sides of my personality that I turn off and on depending on who am I with. If I'm with my parents, I am not as loud and silly as when I'm with my friends. We all have our own customized dynamic with each person we interact with. And I guess we feel like we have control, like we're in control over those emotions, the parts that we want to show. And then sometimes this person comes, new person comes and turns on parts of you you didn't know were in you. And a whole new dynamic develops that is so exclusive to that one person. And that is why you're so hooked, because it's new, it's special, and therefore it's precious. So the way that I understood their relationship, Connell's and Marianne's relationship, and why it was what it was, like so secretive and so special at the same time, I came with this like little metaphor of, you know, when you own a very expensive clock or a very expensive ring or whatever, and you do not like to actually wear it and show it around because it's expensive, it's precious, it's like special to you, and you don't want to lose it, you don't want people to steal it from you, whatever. So you basically own that thing and you care about that thing so much, but you don't show it. You are not literally wearing. So I guess that somehow for Connell, like Marianne was that person, that expensive watch that he didn't want to wear out because he was scared someone was gonna take it away. But it feels good to know that you have something like that and that you can touch it and put it on when no one's watching or every once in a while, and it is yours, even if you never wear it around people, if people never find out that you have it, and it is still special. Maybe that is why it is special. And yeah, and it seems stupid and pointless at some point to own something you never want to show, but that you never want to use. But it's a dynamic between you two that only you two can understand and enjoy. But I mean, I guess probably it's not a real good metaphor because, you know, like something expensive, it's at the end of the day something and not a person. But metaphors aside, as long as that dynamic is there between two actual living people, I guess this is what intimacy is. Who cares about labels? Like, why do we have to name it? And how would we? How do you call that thing? Because at the end of the day, I don't think it's about loving someone for who they are, or it's about loving who we are when we are with them. I think it's about falling in love with something that can't be seen, that can be touched, but can only happen when you are with a certain person and cannot be replicated with anyone else. And if you want to understand what that is like and how that feels like, you have to either feel it or read Normal People by Sally Rooney. So that was it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening all the way through. If you enjoyed the episode, tell me. Don't assume someone already did. Slide into my DMs. I will leave my IG in the show notes. I love reading your feedback and thoughts on the episode. So please reach out over there. I am Alma Limon. Thank you for tuning in to She Reads Podcast. And I hope to see you next Monday. Bye. Adios. Ciao. Okay, bye.